Welcome to District 32 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better.
Now, when it comes to all things finance, we can be a little bit secretive and a little bit unsure because you really don't want to sort of kind of, you know, open your coat and show someone else what your world looks like. Especially if you're struggling a little bit or you just sort of think, oh, it's okay, I've got lots of money, but I don't know where it all goes. Well, sometimes you just need to get over that and reach out to someone who knows exactly what they're doing because it can make all the difference in the world. Today, we're joined by Anne Bayliss. She has a business called Robbins Financial Services and she has got all these skills, can give you the best advice ever. And she does things just that little bit differently. Anne, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, we all seem to think a little nervously about our finances, particularly when it comes to sharing them with somebody else. You specialise in somewhere just a little bit different. I mean, you're not talking about high-end necessarily income earners, though you work with them, but you've got a bit of a niche in there.
Yeah, I guess because I've had personal experiences myself with Centrelink and aged care, I've sort of concentrated on retirees and helping them access Centrelink benefits. What I also do with them is I act as their nominee with Centrelink. If they have issues of trying to get the age pension, I can step in and act on their behalf. I've just helped a client, they put their claim in August last year. In January, it got rejected.
So what, they weren't old enough?
No, they said the assets were too much.
Okay, right.
When I got involved, we found out that they were assessing his superannuation twice. So what I did is I said, right, they've rejected you because they're assessing your superannuation twice, but they've also don't have all this information. So I said, look, if you can give me all the information at the dates that they've requested, I will contact them and get them to reassess it because based on what I knew of what their assets were, they'd get a small pension, so they'd get the pension concession card.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't really care about getting the pension. They just want their pension concession card.
Okay, and the two are linked together, are they? It's not just the case of turning old and then someone issues you a card.
It doesn't work that way. So what happens is a couple that has assets over, I think it's about $825,000, won't get an age pension.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get the Commonwealth Seniors Healthcare Card.
Right.
Now, I've had another client that was on that Commonwealth Seniors Healthcare Card, and what happens there is with their doctor, they didn't get bulk billing. And a lot of the discounts that you get with the pension concession card, to be able to get those discounts, you've got to have the Commonwealth Seniors Healthcare Card, but you've also got to have your WA Seniors Card to get the same discount. So you've got to have the two cards.
Okay. And I imagine that even if you don't have a pension, that would make a significant difference to effectively your cash flow as you are retired and what's going through, right?
Yeah. So I wrote off to Centrelink and I obtained all the details that they wanted from these clients. And eventually we got the pension for them. Small amount, but at least we got it. So we got them to reassess it and they finally accepted it. You know, I've had another client, over $1 million in superannuation assets came to me and basically said to me, I said, look, I can get you the age pension. And they were the ones that couldn't get the bulk billing because they were on the Commonwealth Seniors Healthcare Card. And they said, how did you work that out? We can get the pension. And I said, well, we can for 12 months. And I said, that way you'll get your pension concession card. I said, we'll get some pension. Even though your previous advisor has told you that you won't be relying on Centrelink, it's not about being reliant on Centrelink, it's about getting that pension concession card. And for 12 months, as long as you're getting the pension, we can reduce the impact on your retirement savings. So what happens there, you don't have to draw as much from your own savings, therefore they're going to last longer in retirement.
So that's all about that, looking at the bigger picture
and making
a bigger plan.
Yeah, the way their previous advisor had structured it, they'd never get the age pension until he was 95 if he was still living.
Right.
I restructured it all, that they got the pension for 12 months, Lost it for another 9 years, but got it back when he was 76.
Right.
So getting it at 76 and keeping it compared to getting it at age 95.
Assuming you're still on the planet, of course. Yeah. Not under it, yeah.
Well, that's it. So the clients love that, you know, and so it was just rearranging all their superannuation and all their assets to be able to achieve that for them.
Right. Is that a difficult job, or is it just looking at it with different eyes?
I suppose looking at it from different eyes. You know, their previous advisor, yeah, great. He's basically saying, right, you'll never have to rely on Centrelink. Yep, that's what he was achieving. But I was looking at it from a different angle.
Yeah.
Because most clients aren't really worried about, you know, making wealth, because really they already have wealth. Most of them are wanting that pension concession card, as I've mentioned.
Yeah, so it's what they've got actually lasts longer, and they can live, a better quality of life.
Yeah, so when I work with retirees, I basically like to get their savings out to age 100. And a lot of clients will say to me, hey, we don't envisage to live that long. And I said, no, but...
But if you're still here at 96, you're going to be...
Yeah. Effectively, as a financial planner, we have to only get them out to what their life expectancy is.
But that's 72.
But what if they live longer than their life expectancy? So if I know that I'm getting them their savings out to lasting to 100, I know they're going to be comfortable in retirement. Mm. And if they're having their holidays that they want every year, and they've got car upgrades, and if they're like the grey nomads going around Australia in their four-wheel drive and caravan, and they want to upgrade them, they can. You know,
surely that's got to be better than sitting at home shivering because you can't afford to turn the heating on.
That's it.
Yeah.
People want the discounts that a pension concession card offers them, you know. Free driver's licences. There's free registration on your vehicles. It's 50% reduction on your council rates and your water rates.
Mm. Just for the pension card?
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference.
It does, and that's all people really want. Mm. And then you get the people that are now looking at aged care as well. So a lot of them don't even look at aged care. They just think, well, we're going to get to go through retirement and we'll be fine, not realising that the health can change at any point in time, and they could end up in permanent residential care. You've got to also factor into account, what do we need to do with those assets to be able to keep their pension, like maximise it and reduce their aged care costs. My partner, his mum, we've just had to put her into respite pending permanent care. So I said to him, I said, well, she owns a share in the house with you, so we need to protect that from the aged care assessment. He said to me, what do you mean? And I said, well, the way the things are at the moment, I said, your mum is going to be paying out of her pocket from her bank account. Her aged care fees are going to be more than what she brings in a fortnight from the aged pension. I said, if they assess her share of the house. So we basically changed it. We didn't change the assets. We just got him onto an income benefit with Centrelink, which meant then, because he's living in the house and has lived in it for over 5 years, we've protected her share of the house, so it doesn't come into the aged care assessment.
Which means she can then effectively live in an aged care without having to...
Yeah, she just pays the basic daily care fee, which everybody pays, regardless of whether they've got millions of dollars in the bank or whether they're fully government supported, got nothing in the bank. So that's all she's going to be paying, so therefore her whole pension is not being eaten up by aged care fees.
Nice.
People that have got $1 million in assets, well, there's certain products that we can use to reduce the care fees. If they have, always the case is to pay the refundable accommodation deposit that these care facilities are asking to pay, if they've got the assets to pay them, because that will reduce their daily fees. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, aged care is such complicated because people don't realise that when it comes to aged care, you talk about high means, which is people that have got a lot of assets. You've got medium means, which are people that have got a few assets, but are not fully government supported. And then you've got low means, which is fully government supported. Mm. And then there's all ways of how you can pay the fees. There's a refundable accommodation deposit, which is up to, I think it's about $550,000 that the government has said is capped as a lump sum. Or you can pay a part of that, or you can pay a daily fee, or you pay 100% daily fee.
So it's a case of working out what works best for this particular situation,
yeah.
Which is where, of course, some of your expertise comes in.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're a great person to have in my corner. Is this what you've always done?
Yeah, well, I've been in the industry 33 years. I did year 12, finished my year 12 exams in 1985, and within a couple of weeks I was working for Australia's biggest insurer, AMP Society, back then. I got, you know, had a couple of redundancies from the two large insurers from there, and I think that was my first experience with Centrelink. Could have been the Commonwealth Employment Service back then, I don't know what it was. So that was my first personal experience.
There's got to be a better way.
And I was lucky, and I've just managed to fall back into financial services industry throughout my whole life.
So buckets of experience. You've seen all the changes, you're abreast of what, sort of new to it and going, oh, I'm still trying to come up to speed. You've seriously got the ginormous amount of knowledge to draw on here, and experience, obviously. You must have seen pretty much everything.
I have, and I've been lucky for me, is that I've had the product background. So when I was working for those companies, I was the one processing all these policies. So people come now and say, can you review a policy? And I go, yeah, I know this policy.
No worries. Yeah.
You know, it's not like some of these new advisors coming out of uni that go straight into advising, don't know anything about the products. I've had the product background, so I know how to assess a product. And I've done what we call para planning or strategy work for other financial planners before I started financial planning myself. Mm. I know how to work the strategies. And that, so to be and that was for me to be a better financial planner. And why I do it is because I just like seeing my clients smile and be happy, really.
Just the stress that having a good financial plan in place takes off, and you know that tomorrow's going to be fine. If you want to pop down the beach, pop down the beach. If you want to jump on the train, jump on the train. Yeah? Plan that holiday. That would bring joy and relief to so many people's lives, especially as they get older.
Well, yeah, the retirees love it because if me as the nominee, if they're off travelling, I get a copy of the correspondence that they get. So if anything pops up...
And can you just fix this for me, mate?
Yeah.
I'm in the Greek islands, can you? Nice.
One of my clients, they went off travelling and they were waiting for their pension concession card to come. And I said, well, I'll get it sent to me. And I said, I'll text you, find out where you are, find out your next port of stop that I can send it to, whether it's a care of a post office somewhere or
caravan park somewhere,
yeah,
or wherever,
yeah, and I'll forward it to you. That way they could use their pension concession card while they're
still
away,
yeah,
instead of it sitting in their letterbox waiting for them to come home before they can use it.
Fantastic. So if people need a financial advisor who's they're not going to feel exposed that they're sort of, getting a bit judged on here, who's got a massive amount of experience, who could really, really work out the best way forward, particularly for retirement planning, but really any stage of getting your act together, what's the best way they can get hold of you, Anne?
The best way to get hold of me is go to my website.
Which is?
www.robburns.com.au. RobbUrns.
Beautiful.
There is a contact form, and you can actually book an online appointment with me on my website.
Technology, what would we do without it?
Phone number's there.
Fantastic.
As well, but yeah, you can actually book directly through, make an appointment directly through my website.
And then they can just rock in, explain what they're trying to do, and you can say, yep, that sounds like something I can help with, or if you can't, refer them on to someone who might be more appropriate.
Yep, that's right.
We're being part of a network.
Yep.
Brilliant. Cool. So last final words. If the people are looking at retiring, what is the first thing they should think about doing, other than calling a good self, of course? Is there something which everybody should do?
As soon as they know that they're eligible for Centrelink, as they should put an application in, I can help them with that, actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they should really just make contact with me, because I help my clients apply online. But go in, get your Centrelink reference number, provide your ID that they need. And once that's done, you only have to do it once. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, come and see me and we can start the process of putting in a claim for Centrelink and help restructure the things. Because the sooner you put the claim into Centrelink, the sooner they will pay you.
Cool.
Because they will pay you from the day that you put that claim in. So if you reach age, pension age, and you don't think about doing it for 2 months, well, guess what? They're not going to pay you until you actually put that claim in. But they're not going to pay you back to the day that you actually became eligible.
So get involved, put the claim in, yep. Get hold of you so you can help them restructure their savings so they can live to 100 without a stress.
Yep. And maximise Centrelink in the process.
Brilliant. Sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.